Blog Talk Radio.
Era notte a târziu.
It was very late at night.
Stăteam pe o piatră afară.
I was sitting outside on a rock.
Lui Stan i-am arătat piatra că n-o fost la mine.
As Stan said, I showed him the rock when he came to my home.
Acolo stam și mă gândeam ce am făcut eu.
And I was just thinking, what did I do?
Plângeam să nu mă vadă familia.
I was crying so my family wouldn't see me.
Și odată am văzut că vine o lumină spre mine.
And all of a sudden I saw a light coming towards me.
Când am văzut lumina, am crezut că e o mașină.
When I saw the light, I thought it was a car.
În Italia și în România m-au urmărit cu mașina să mă omoare.
Because in Romania and in Italy they always try to run me over with cars. So I thought, they found me here too.
Dar n-a fost mașină,
but it was not a car.
Că lumina m-a cucerit,
the light surrounded me.
Și din lumina m-a auzit aceeași voce.
And out of the light I heard the same voice.
Era același înger.
It was the same angel.
Dumitru, de ce ești tu disperat?
Dumitru, why are you so despaired?
De ce m-ai pedepsit așa de tare?
Why'd you punish me so harshly?
Ce am făcut eu?
What did I do?
Ce nu m-ai lăsat pe mine în pușcărie?
Why couldn't you let me stay in prison?
Familia avea unde să stea.
But my family would have had a home.
Zic, eu n-am un implicat cap.
I don't have a bed to let my head down on.
De ce m-ai adus aici?
Why was I brought here?
Dumitru, te-am adus aici că țara asta va...
Dumitru, I brought you to this country because this country will burn.
Și m-ai adus să mă arzi aici și nu m-ai lăsat să mor în pușcărie în țara mea.
So why did you bring me here to burn? Why didn't you let me die in jail in my own country?
Dumitru, taci.
He said, Dumitru, be quiet.
Urcă-te lângă mine.
Get beside me.
Ce aparat a avut, nu.
I don't know what the device was.
M-a tras lângă el.
But he pulled me beside him.
Mi-a arătat toată California.
And he showed me all of California. Do you see what I've shown you? This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Păcatul lor a ajuns înaintea lui Dumnezeu.
Their sins have reached God.
Și Dumnezeu a hotărât să-i pedepsească pe
And God has decided to punish them by fire.
M-a dus și mi-a arătat Las Vegas.
He came and showed me Las Vegas.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va...
And one day it will burn.
Mi-a arătat New York.
He came and showed me New York.
Aici e New York.
This is New York.
Aici
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah. In one day it will burn. And then he showed me Florida. This is Florida. This is a Sodom and Gomorrah. And in one day it will burn.
But what will you do with
me, I said?
Been listening to the Wake Up America message with Dimitri Dudeman. For a copy of this very important message, please go to our website at handofhelp.com. Never before in the history of our country has our nation been in more jeopardy than now. Please order a copy of the video Wake Up America at the handofhelp.com website and get the warning out while we still have time. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
All right, welcome to the program, and thank you for joining us. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast. I am your host, Michael Boldea, and as promised last week, we are back, we are live, and we're ready to get at it. Well, in honor of Father's Day, having just occurred, a little later on in the program, we will have another segment of Two Angry Dads, and dare I say, there's a lot to be angry about. But before we get into that, and before we bring Jeff on the line, I want to discuss a few things that happened this past week, not least of which, apparently, was the Georgia 6th congressional election. Who'd have thunk it? You know, it's Georgia. Fun state, great peaches. But really, their 6th congressional seat apparently was topic of the week. And to a certain extent, I guess it was relevant. I mean, if you don't understand why everybody went crazy about it, if you don't understand what just happened, then you don't understand human nature, to be quite honest with you. You don't understand the mindset of those who work tirelessly to get the man whose last name has now become a punchline elected to the office vacated by Tom Price, who is basically now the Secretary of Health and Human Services. But you don't live in Georgia, Mike. Why do you care? I didn't until everybody else started to. And I guess right now I care because, let me put it this way. It was in not caring. It was in not paying attention to what was going on locally, in local races, in not getting involved, that we're trying to dig ourselves out of the hole that we've descended into. Look, by all accounts, this election in Georgia was the most expensive congressional election in the history of congressional elections. Estimates put the money pumped into this election at $50 million. And what's strange about it is that, 90-some-odd percent of the money came from California and other bastions of liberalism and progressivism like, New Hampshire and Maine and New York. So the reason this election result was so satisfying, at least to me, is that it did to the Hollywood elite, to the snarky, pampered, overpaid, uninformed, useful idiots who pretend to be other people for a living, what nothing else could do. It made them irrelevant. What you have to understand is that to these people, being deemed irrelevant is worse than the pains of death itself. They would rather suffer any indignity, including allowing themselves to be filmed doing unsavory things, as long as they could remain in the spotlight, as long as they could remain relevant, as long as they could sway people's opinions into doing what they want them to do. It is in the fact that the people of Georgia decided to repudiate their lunacy that we should all take, great comfort. It is also for this reason that so many so-called stars and starlets are wallowing in self-pity and self-loathing and self-hatred and worse. They're simply unable to come to terms with the idea that, yes, the fact that they were on a sitcom for a few seasons some 15 years ago is not enough of a reason for people to vote against their children's future and against their own well-being. And I know I'm going to get emails and letters because it's unseemly to do this, but watching these people losing their minds is entertaining. I'm sorry, it just is. When the ever portly Rosie Wears the Ham O'Donnell tweets that Donald Trump is the darkness itself, it makes you chuckle just a little bit. It's okay to do it. You can chuckle. You have my permission. Chuckle away. Because I did. So yes, the Hollywood elite, for what it's worth now, has just definitively been proven irrelevant. And the shadow of gloom and dread is upon them. Could they really have gotten it all wrong? How could a fully grown man sharing a bathroom with my daughter because he says he feels like a woman not be the single most important issue to these Georgia rubes? How could rainbow flags flying from church steeples not be what voters turned out in mass for? See, this is why I run across believers, and I have friends that get so disillusioned and they get so sad in their souls because they believe that what Hollywood believes is what most normal people believe. Well, I'm sorry, the Georgia election just repudiated that. It's because these lunatics have the backing of the mainstream media and they validate each other that they actually believed for a brief and glorious second limp-wristed little man had a chance to win the election. Look, you've got to hand it to the pollsters, too. I'm really starting to love pollsters. They just pump these buffoons full of hope. At a certain point, this Ossoff character was up in the double digits, sure to win, pack it up, go home, nothing to see here. Then like a balloon left out in the sun for too long, deflation commenced. Because this was supposed to be it, wasn't it? I turned on the news and that's all I'd hear for the past week. This is it. This was supposed to be the manifestation of the repudiation of the Trump agenda. This was supposed to be a referendum on this current administration. This was it, baby. $50 million down the drain. $50 million later. All their hopes are dashed and their dreams have turned into a nightmare. It's like giving a little kid a toy and letting him play with it for like 3 minutes, snatching it away and slapping him across the mouth. It's sad. It really is to a certain point. But again, leftists and Hollywood types aren't little kids, so don't feel too sorry for them. I'm just saying. Now, if I were a betting man, I would have bet big that this is the way it would have turned out. And not because this Karen Handel character was such a great candidate. Look, the single most reason I was certain that she was going to win is because Georgia has voter ID law. You have to prove that you are who you say you are by showing identification. I know, shocking, isn't it? But this is something that the Democrats are fighting against tooth and nail. If they can somehow, and hear me on this, if they can somehow manage to pass a nationwide voter ID law, then 2020 is looking mighty good. If they stall on it, if they don't pass it, then all we would have done is had a four-year reprieve from the onslaught of what's happening in other places in the world, such as Canada, which we discussed last week, but we will discuss again this week within the framework of Two Angry Dads. And in case Jeff hasn't caught up on the article, I'm going to read from it just a little later. Just so we can understand what's happening in other places in North America. We're not talking about, Amsterdam here. We're not talking about, places far away where sin abounded for so long. We're talking about Canada. And when you hear what's happening in Canada and the law they just passed, it should make you a little concerned. But for now, bear with me. I'm just going to bask a little in the misery of fools. Because had it gone the other way, you'd have marches in the streets and never-ending arrays of talking heads telling you how the people want a refund and how they want their money back and how they no longer trust the current administration, that the end of the president is nigh and we should really look into impeachment. And as though, the good news train wasn't long enough this week, another story making the rounds is that the Hillary Clinton email server investigation, that just got reopened. And unlike the Russian conspiracy theory, there's enough here to indict and prosecute. So I wonder how quickly the mainstream media will back away from all things Russia and all things collusion when they hear that their idol, their darling, their Barbie in a pantsuit, is going under the microscope again. But with that, enough of politics. You got to talk about it, but not so much, I guess. It's a fine line. What else happened? Oh, a cop was stabbed in Michigan, actually at a Michigan airport, by a gentleman who was yelling the now customary Allahu Akbar, which should be a bit more disconcerting than it seems to be if the news is any gauge of it. But I ran across this article that said recent polls indicated that people are avoiding crowds and crowded places for fear of terrorism. And this is in America. And the reason this sort of hit home with me is because just a couple of days earlier, I was having a conversation with my wife as to what we would be doing for the 4th of July weekend. They're having like a fireworks display close to where we live. And, I thought Victoria would get a kick out of it. And so I explained to her, hey, it's going to be great. There's going to be a fireworks display. Do you want to go on the 4th? And she sort of looked at me and said, we're staying home for the 4th. She can see fireworks another time. So the question is this. Is my wife being overly cautious? I guess to a degree. I thought she was before reading this article. But apparently she's not the only one feeling this way. This wasn't some rinky-dink outfit. This was Gallup. This is a Gallup poll. They conducted this. And about 38% of people who were polled said they would be avoiding crowds due to fear of terrorism. Is it unwarranted? Not so much. Because everyone knows people who intend to do this nation and its citizens harm are here. It's undeniable. They are here. They are within our borders. They're biding their time and waiting for their opportunity. And we're living in a day and age where it's just better to err on the side of caution. Because being cautious has spared many a people many a hardship. Being foolhardy and having no situational awareness and living with your head in the sand cost a lot of people a lot, and some people it cost everything. I feel very sad for this young man who was in North Korea for a year and a half and then came home just to die because he had brain damage. And again, I feel empathy for his parents. I think it's a sad situation all around. But what were you doing in North Korea? Have the presence of mind to understand that some places, best avoided. North Korea being one of them. Anyway, if he'd come back, so we could do another Two Angry Dads, because it was Father's Day recently, if you don't know. But also because we're seeing this escalation in the war on parents and the war on family. And more specifically, the war on parenting. And this is happening in various parts of North America, but more specifically in Canada. This just occurred. I mean, this was last week, the 21st. This was yesterday. And I believe it's so erosive and corrosive to the role of fathers and family as a whole that it needed to be fleshed out a little bit. It needed to be discussed, even though I know that some of you would prefer I talk about something else. I've gotten your emails. I've gotten the letters. I understand where you're coming from. I understand why you would prefer I focus on other things. But you have the word. Tells you what you ought to do. It tells you how you ought to live. It tells you how you ought to worship. If you have specific questions regarding these things, email me, write me. I will try to answer them biblically and to the best of my ability. That said, every time I come on, I'm assuming I'm speaking to mature individuals who already know the basics and who already know the fundamentals of the faith. Have I been sounding frustrated of late? Perhaps. And that's because I am. I honestly am. This is my confession. I am frustrated. Look, the whole ball game changed for me 3 years ago when my first daughter was born, and it will only be amplified come December when my second daughter is born. I need to do this in order to be able to look them in the eye and know in my heart that I've done all I can to leave them a world as dissimilar to Sodom and Gomorrah as I possibly can. In order for this to occur, we cannot be indifferent towards society. We cannot be indifferent towards culture. We cannot be indifferent towards what's happening. Nor do I believe it's our duty not to say anything, not to be vocal, not to oppose certain things that go against everything that is moral and just. So that's where I am right now. This is the headspace I find myself in. Anyway, I'm going to read a part of this article. I'm going to try to do it quickly. Just so you understand what parents are now grappling with in Canada, and what I believe will be attempted in these United States within 4 years' time, if this current administration gets voted out of office come 2020. I'll have Jeff chime in and give his opinion, and we'll discuss it a bit, as we are wont to do in the Two Angry Dads segment. So here goes. This is from thetrumpet.com, in case anyone wants to, you know, fact check me. It starts and it says, for much of the 21st century, Canada has been at the forefront of cultural change. It was the fourth country in the world to legalize homosexual marriage in 2005, behind only the Netherlands, Belgium, and Spain. Well, there you go. Something to truly be proud of, Canada. It is currently on track to be the second country to legalize the consumption and sale of recreational marijuana because you need a docile and compliant citizenry. And what better way to get them there than legalized pot? Now, another milestone has been passed. It has joined a small handful of nations that recognize and protect the rights of transgendered individuals. Yay, mental illness. Two landmark bills have been passed that have cemented transgenderism into Canadian culture, or culture if you prefer. Bill 89, undermining the family. The first piece of legislation was passed by the Ontario provincial government this June 1st, and it's meant to overhaul the province's children's aid societies and youth justice system. Basically, what it does is it doesn't allow parents to discourage their children if their children, perchance, say they're transgendered or gender fluid or whatever other idiotic term they come up with. And here's the big caveat here. Attempting to do so, attempting to change your child's mind, is grounds for having your child taken away. Under the new bill, gender identity and gender expression are two new categories social workers must take into account when determining what is in the best interest of a child. So, parents who try to dissuade or teach against transgenderism are at risk of having their children taken away if a social worker deems that it's abusive to the child. And here we are, words of the state. I'm going to stop here and let Jeff jump in a little bit. Otherwise, I'm going to keep going on for the rest of the hour. But this is where Canada's at. You're going to have bureaucrats. You're going to have people that weren't smart enough to start a business or smart enough to make it on their own and win into this, I love this term, public service. You're going to have these people determine whether you get to keep your child or whether your child gets taken away because you discouraged transgenderism. It's going to be a while before, if ever this comes up, my daughter's only three, but this sounds heinous to me. This is happening in Canada. This is happening in a civilized country. Jeff, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Tell me what you think about this. I'm angry. Are you?
Yeah. I was speaking with a friend about this when I saw the article, and I said it's finally come to the point where you can see that the gay agenda is not about equality. It's about destruction of the family, and it's always been about the destruction of the family. And this goes all the way back to Matthew Shepard, I think, is the person that became the case in America that he was a young gay man who was supposedly killed by two bullies, straight bullies. And it always begins with sympathy, and then it always moves into equality, and then it always moves into dominance and destruction of the other side. And we're just now seeing this. And we're just not now seeing this. We're seeing the continual progression and the uncloaking of their actual agenda. And, of course, years ago when the Christian community was saying, look, they're trying to make inroads. They don't want equality. They want destruction of the family. And, of course, the Christians were seen as hate mongers and bashers and homophobes and stuff like that. And those who were screaming that are now being vindicated. But it's not like, oh, great, I'm vindicated. I've been shown that I was right back then. All this is we're just going to keep heading down this path. And I can feel for you because, you know, I had two daughters, and one of them, of course, is out of the house, moved out. The other one is just 2 years away from going off to college. But I can't imagine being a dad now with a small one, knowing that you're this close to possibly a law being passed in our own country someday, like you said, maybe 4, maybe 5 years, and they could potentially take away your own child just because they like putting on a dress or they like pretending to be something else. when sometimes kids playing around, you know, it's like no big deal, but the parent can't even decide for the child anymore. They've become, like you said, they're wards of the state, and the parental rights are gone. And I can't imagine what I can understand your frustration. I'm frustrated because someday my girls may have get married, have children, have a family, and they're going to even be in a worse state than what I was in or what you were in. And I can remember way back, you know how you said that everything changed when your daughter came into the world. Well, for me, I got serious about my faith when my daughter came into the world. I was pretty much on a shaky ground with God for a long time. Grew up going to church, but didn't act like it. And it wasn't until I had my first child that I began to really think about the future. I was thinking about her future. And that governed a lot of the things that my wife and I did in opposition to the rest of our family with respect to raising them to know Christ. And, boy, I can't imagine what your daughter is going to face, even if we're here long enough to where she has the opportunity to have a family.
And a bit, look, I would have expected a lot bigger reaction from the church in America than I'm seeing right now. This is why I wanted to discuss this today, because what's happening in Canada right now is the canary in the coal mine. This is the culmination of the homosexual agenda. If you teach your child morality, if you teach your child principles, if you teach your child, and it's going to get to that where if you teach them religion, if you don't let them choose their religion, if you don't let them choose to be spiritual beings that choose the path towards their nirvana, then they'll get taken away for that. Look, once the government can come in and take my child for any other reason than the child is in danger or the child is being abused, then personally I feel as though the government has overstepped. And this passed in Canada. This is now law in Canada.
Yeah.
And again, I guarantee you, if we had an alternate universe machine and we could peer into it, this would be happening in America right now had the other side won. This is why, because I got a lot of flack. Why are you getting into the politics thing? Why are you being political? Because the other side was not an option. Because we would be exactly where Canada is. We'd be passing these laws. You'd have guys in chaps and rainbow flags marching on the White House lawn celebrating. Because this was the thrust of the campaign. Every time this woman stood up to speak, it was about the LGBTQIO community. You know, you remember that. You remember the speeches. It's like there's nobody else in this country except mentally deranged people who have a sexual attraction for the same sex. Never mind the other 310 million people that are hardworking, blue-collar, you know, folks. Those are the only people that you need to be concerned with. And I think this is largely the reason why she lost, is that because they overreached. And people are beginning to see, up until a certain point, it was a sympathy issue. Up until a certain point, it was an acceptance issue. But then it became validation, and then it became subjugation. And when normal folk, when individuals that, you know, I'm going to tell you that it's a sin because it's my duty to tell you that it's a sin. Am I going to try to throw you off a roof because of it? Am I going to try to cut off your head? No. I'm simply going to tell you that it is a sin in the sight of God. All right, but once normal people began to see that the end result was the subjugation of the family and the subjugation of Christianity, and when they saw that the homosexual community was allying itself with zealous Muslims and terrorists because they had the same purpose, which was the destruction of Christianity, you know, some people got wise to it. Some still aren't wise to it. There's still preachers that are there going on and on about marching in gay pride parades and about Chrislam. So it's endlessly frustrating that the speed with which people are waking up is so slow.
Yeah. I think one of the things, like you're saying, some people don't want to talk about politics. I can't remember who it was. I think it was Breitbart that said politics is downstream from culture. Well, I think downstream from culture is morality. And if the church stops being a moral head in the society, it's going to impact the culture. And then eventually it's going to impact politics. And so all this stuff is downstream from us as Christians having an impact in our world, because we've been told that we need to get out of government, we need to get out of schools, we need to get out of corporations, we need to get out of institutions, we need to get out of everything and just go back into our church. And unfortunately, that's what many of the churches have done and the pastors have done. They've just pulled back. Well, when you pull back, you're leaving that huge void for Satan to slip in with all of his minions to take over the culture and then also take over politics, which ultimately controls policy and laws within your own country, to the point where we're at, where Canada is at right now, where the law is now contradicting your own conscience and contradicting the Word of God. And so I think that these things are necessary. You're not necessarily talking about politics. You're almost talking about the consequences of not adhering to the Word of God and not acting out the Word of God and living according to it. This is exactly what happens when you avoid living out the Word of God all around you.
Well, who was it? Last week, Bernie Sanders completely shellacked a guy just because he was a Christian.
Exactly.
I mean, he deemed him disqualified for the position that he was being nominated for simply because he was a Christian.
Even though, of course, Islam throws gays off buildings, they brutalize women and treat them less than human. No, they don't talk about that. Because
no, that's the religion of peace, though. We misunderstand. You know, it's look, come on. There's only if you are willingly ignorant on the point of being insane. You know, there's an old meme going around saying don't ever go full retard. These people have gone full retard. You know, you can't defend the indefensible to this sort of degree. Look, nothing about Islam is similar to Christianity. You don't have the Baptists in a blood feud with the Pentecostals, like the Shia and the Sunnis. All right?
Yeah.
As many flawed individuals that call themselves Christian throughout history have been, you still have hospitals that are built by denominations. You have St. Jude's, and you have St. Matthew's, and you have all of these things that help communities, that aid people. You have charities that give. What do you have when it comes to Islam? You have charities that are masquerading as charities who give money to families of suicide bombers. When's the last time you were in St. Muhammad Hospital?
Yeah.
Come on.
Exactly.
Let's just be honest with this. Because we're beating around the bush, because we're refusing confrontation, and they know this. They know we're spineless and we're weak-willed, and they knew that of Europe, and look what's happening in places like England and France right now. You're walking down the street eating an ice cream cone, and some guy jumps out of a car and cuts off your head. And we're being told by the mayor of London himself that, well, if you live in a big city, it's expected. That's the price of good ice cream.
Yeah.
It's just mind-boggling.
I can't
for the life of me believe that the only expectation Jesus has of us is to stare at our navels and wait for the rapture.
No.
When all of this is going on, it's paternal instinct, if you want to call it that. When I see that my daughter's future hangs in the balance, then I'm going to say something. I'm going to do what I can do to make sure that she's not living in modern-day Sodom and Gomorrah.
Well, look at what, the Apostle Paul had done. I think it was the city of Ephesus where they had the great Temple of Diana. His preaching over there turned upside down the entire city. And he was just preaching Christ, but he was impacting the political situation, the religious situation in that city. And can we say that about some of our pastors in some of our churches across America? Are they turning upside down a city that is like Sodom and Gomorrah? or like how your grandfather had called out, you know, Florida and Las Vegas and New York.
They're turning their own churches upside down by being caught hiring male prostitutes to give them massages. Look, the reason pastors aren't turning their nation upside down, the reason they're not turning their cities upside down, is because they're not wholly sold out to God. These are people who are in a career.
Yeah.
It's not a calling to them. It's a career. They made a career choice. They get a nice paycheck. They get a nice car. They get a nice parsonage. They get a nice retirement plan. And so
I even had a pastor tell me that.
For Christ. What was that?
I even had a pastor tell me that once. He said when he was on career day at school, he was looking down. He thought, here's the things I would like to do. And then he started looking at the characteristic traits of different careers to see which one fit what he would like to do. And, of course, being a pastor fit what he wanted. You know, he wanted some leisure time. He wanted to be able to pursue other activities. And that being a pastor gave him that opportunity to have that kind of lifestyle. So he wasn't sold out to the – what's that?
And these kinds of people never want conflict.
They don't
want to stand up for anything. They just want to do their time, man. They're like the policeman that rides a desk. They want to do their 20 years and get out with their pension. That's it.
Yeah, that's it.
And I'm sorry. You know, if you feel that way, then you should have a real gut check, because you may be needed somewhere, and you're unwilling to do it because you're trying to protect your little piece of the pie. You know, it's astounding to me how quickly men betray Christ for their own self-interest.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a love of self more than love of God, because they want to protect. They don't want to become the enemy of people. They don't want to be looked down upon. They don't want to be made fun of. They don't want to, you know, be pointed at and say, oh, there's that guy that, you know, is stirring up things. They don't want that. They want comfort. And because to walk the path that your grandfather walked, that you are walking, that Gino's walking, that many other missionaries and pastors have walked, a lot of people step back and they look at that and go, wow, I don't want that. If I commit my life too hard to Christ, I'm going to have all kinds of problems. I don't want a hard life. I want an easy life. And
they find the path of least resistance, and that's usually to go with the flow. Look, I was reading this. It says this. This is a person that's a representative of the state of Canada. Okay, this is an elected official who came to this brilliant conclusion. I would consider that a form of abuse. Just think of this. I would consider it a form of abuse when a child identifies one way and a caregiver is saying, no, you need to do this differently, he said. If it's abuse and if it's within the definition, a child can be removed from that environment and placed into protection where the abuse stops. So me telling my child no is abuse now. This new law undermines the parents' ability as private citizens to raise their children according to any religious values. The state
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
The state is now dictating how parents are to raise their children. This is now law in Canada. Open your eyes. This is law in Canada. And I guarantee you in 4 years it's going to be law in America if the pendulum swings back and the other side wins.
Yeah, wait till your kid identifies as a tiger and they want to put him in a zoo.
Well, I'm sorry. I feel bad for their mental disorder. I really do. But you see these people that change the topography of their face to look like an elf or to look like an alien or some other idiot thing. I'm not kidding.
They do.
And they're sitting there being interviewed by someone that's taking them seriously rather than being in a straitjacket getting pumped full of Thorazine and having a really good shrink do a little background check.
Yeah. Yeah, you're supposed to buy in. You're supposed to become part of their delusion.
And if you don't, you're a bigot. You know, that's now a throwaway line. Being a Nazi and a bigot is now a throwaway line. Every time you disagree, every time they don't have an argument, every time you make a logical, reasonable point and they have no comeback for it, they throw out the bigot card. You know, and it's going to get stale. People are going to get sick of it. I think it's already happening. People have come to this culmination point where they're not going to be browbeaten by pedophiles and perverts anymore. They're not going to be browbeaten by people who apparently the biggest issue in the world is having a fully grown adult taking a leak next to their daughter in a bathroom because he says he's a man. You know, it's just where does the madness stop? And if anyone would have spoken up earlier, it wouldn't have gotten to this. This is what chaps my hide. Okay, it's because we chose silence as the church. Well, we have to be loving. Jesus was loving. Jesus took the whip to those who made merchandise in the temple. All right. Yeah. So again, Jesus said some very mean things to some very, you know, deserving people. If you take a look at the things that Jesus said, Jesus wasn't all love. This is the Joel Osteen gospel. That all Jesus was love, and we're supposed to hug everybody and tolerate everybody and embrace everybody and validate everybody. All the while, these people are plotting to subjugate you and take away your children if you happen to mention Jesus to them.
Well, one of the things I've noticed, when I would talk to atheists and agnostics, I was trying to figure out how best to approach them because, they always attack you first. And so, of course, I will always go back to Scripture, and I notice what Jesus did often is he would first point out their hypocritical statement, and then he would move forward to tell them the truth. And what either we've failed to teach or it's just not noticed is a lot of times we get put on the defense, kind of like the Republicans. We're constantly on the defense. We never go on the offense. And if you notice, Jesus would take a moment to go on the offense, point out the hypocrisy, point out the lunacy of their statement or the fact that they were contradicting themselves by their questions, and then he would speak the truth to them. We don't do that. We oftentimes, as church guys, we feel like we have to constantly be in a defense position. And it's almost like you're a fighter that's on the ropes. You're constantly having to defend, and you never can attack. And we never get on the offense. And the Republicans are this way. Christians tend to be this way. But now that people are going on the defense, or excuse me, on the attack, or you know, presenting
on the offensive.
On the offensive. I couldn't remember that word. We're going on the offensive. We're noticing now that it doesn't even work anymore. We're at the point where many of these folks, they don't care what you say, and they don't care how logical you are, and they don't care how factual you are, and they don't care how much evidence is stacked in your favor. They don't care anymore. And I can see how this can easily turn into, in time, a civil war, because it seems like we're at a position now, or we've basically passed the Rubicon, where we can have civil discourse, and now the answer from the liberals is violence.
Yeah, and it's being encouraged, and it's being fomented. I've come to believe that both sides, anything establishment, whether Republican or Democrat, is the cancer of America. Okay, and right now the only chemo in that entire place is an orange-haired man by the name of Donald Trump. And they're doing everything they can to resist the chemo, man. I mean, they're pulling out all the stops. This is the way I look at it. It makes sense in my head, you know. And so one of the two is going to win. Either the chemo is going to work, either the establishment is going to die, and this nation will actually thrive for a season, which I'm hoping.
I'm hoping too.
I have to be hopeful. I can't be one of those pessimists. Well, it was prophesied, so. Let it die. No, I have a daughter. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm going to have another daughter. I can't just let it die if I think that I can put my hand to the plow and help it live a little longer. You know, so either the chemo's going to work or it's not going to work. If it doesn't work, then in 4 years we're going to be right back to this. It's going to be someone even more heinous than Depends Barbie because anybody that says she's going to run again, come on, she's going to be 107 or whatever. But it's going to be somebody younger and charismatic and somebody that's going to push socialism to the nth degree. And there's enough young people coming out of high school, enough people becoming, you know, of voting age that are very happy to live in their parents' basement, play video games, and smoke weed for the next 40 years.
Well, eventually the Democrats are going to get smart, and they're probably going to pick up the Bernie Sanders the propaganda that he touted because he was having a large following. And like you said, there's plenty of kids coming out of college that already believe that and think that. And so that's probably going to be the next thing that will hit us, you know, after Trump is out of office. And Once Trump's gone, I don't think we'll ever see somebody like that again.
No,
I think this is a
once-in-a-lifetime thing.
Because I think it's just one
because
shot.
Because, again, we've had the spine bred out of us. We've been browbeaten into silence. And even when we know what's right, when right is so right that it cannot be avoided, we still bite our tongue because we don't want the confrontation. Look, I think the only way that the Republicans have a chance of winning in 4 years is to continually play live footage of what's going on in places like Venezuela, because that's the end result of socialism. That communism has never worked in the history of the world. Communism has never worked. And don't start with that. Well, socialism isn't communism. It is. It's communism without the gun until the gun is necessary.
That's right.
Because
eventually
the gun will always be necessary. This is what another thing that they don't understand.
Well,
okay,
that guy in
eventually,
Virginia figured
eventually
that out.
You're going to run out of rich people. Eventually you're going to run out of businesses. Eventually you're going to nationalize everything that can be nationalized. And because the dumbest and most violent people rise to power in a socialist environment, they can't manage anything.
No.
And so you have Venezuela. No. Look what's happening over there, man. There's people hunting rats with sticks trying to survive. The average Venezuelan has lost 19 pounds in a year.
Wonder if Jenny Craig would sponsor that.
I exactly. If you want to lose weight, become a socialist.
There you go.
But it's there's just so much going on in the world, and I feel as though the church is doing so little. That's why I get frustrated. Because I got a letter today that says, you sound so frustrated. I am. How can you not be? I'm not in a celebratory mood. The election happened, and the election was just the beginning of a process. Right now, we started chemo. Whether we survive or not is yet to be seen.
There's no guarantee.
The Republican establishment, the Democratic establishment, and everybody in between wants this guy's head. And the one caveat is that the people are still with him. And this is the one thing that I don't think they're taking into account, is that, God forbid, they try to impeach him or something happens to the man. It's instant revolution. There's no way around it. There's no way to avoid it, I had a friend of mine. He's, a little hillbilly-ish. He wears the wife beaters and he's got a gun collection to rival Winchester, and he goes, if he goes, they go. I'm like, calm down, man. Nobody's going anywhere yet. Just calm down. But there's a lot of people that have that mindset. They saw this election as the last hope to leave their children, a nation where their children aren't serfs and where their children aren't slaves.
Yeah.
And,
well,
and
that's definitely where they're trying to get to.
Oh, yeah. Because, look, socialism is good on paper, but that's all it is. It never works out.
It's like Common Core math.
Exactly. And you have microcosms of it where you have certain areas in America where the poverty pimps know what to do. They promise more and more stuff. And people like Maxine Waters, the fact that she doesn't have "Remember to Breathe" written on the palm of her hand is still amazing to me. She gets reelected over and over again.
Yeah.
But it's because the district that she's from, all she has to do is promise more free stuff.
Yeah, that's all I got to do.
If you can get somebody that's charismatic, look, because right now what they're trying to push, who, Chelsea Clinton. Look, she doesn't have. She doesn't have her mother's violent streak, and she doesn't have her father's charm. So that girl's not going anywhere. She should just invest in some braces and be done with it. But eventually they're going to find somebody that's charismatic. The far left can get behind, and that's when it's going to get dangerous. Because you see what the Bernie bros are doing. I'm sorry. There's no Trump supporter going out trying to shoot anybody.
No.
You know, but the Bernie bros sure are trying to, you know, thankfully they're poor shots.
Yeah,
you know,
sure they can't hit the broadside of a barn.
If there's a silver lining, is that liberals and Democrats are horrible shots, because to them they all think they're Rambo until they hold a gun.
The one thing about the Democrats or the liberals is they can organize, and if they eventually get smart, which I think they will start. They may back off a little bit and then reorganize and then come back and hit hard. Which, I mean, look at what they've accomplished so far. I mean, one thing I've noticed, as Trump has gotten in, we as a country are starting to see the limitations of the executive branch. We thought, you know, that the president could be like God here in America under Obama, but now that Trump is in, you're starting to see all the limitations of that the president actually has. And you see the limitations of the judicial department.
Only Obama could be like God. Who does Trump think he is? Well, but I think the Supreme Court's going to sort a lot of that out. Because I think the Ninth District overreached. I think the judge in Hawaii overreached. It's one of those things. They know how to use the system. They've been gaming the system for a very long time, and they know how to play it. They know how to play the game. And again, it's astounding to me how little support the man has from his own party. You know, you sort of feel sorry for him, because it doesn't matter whether you love him or you hate him. You got to admit that he's sort of winning. You know, I mean, he's had some successes that are demonstrable, and yet the Republicans are still unwilling to get behind him. And that's, you know, the Democrats, man, they'll stick. They'll defend anybody. They'll defend a rapist. They'll defend a pedophile. They defended Anthony Weiner.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That's it. That's it.
Well,
my
I heard
problem.
Even
There's
Hilma
nothing
Abedin
more.
Went back to him.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, you know, that's her choice. But the thing of it is, they stuck. I mean, the man shot himself in both feet and in the face, and they still try to prop him up. You know. Republicans, it's a strange animal. But again, it's the career politicians, and Donald Trump is a disruptive force. It's something that they don't know how to deal with. He doesn't owe anybody anything. He's not in anybody's back pocket. There's no pressure points there, and so they don't know how to deal with something like that. I honestly watched his speech in Iowa. The man seems authentically in love with the American people, which is a big difference from the last 8 years.
I think
George Bush, to a certain extent, had a love for the American people. I think Ronald Reagan was demonstrably for the American people. But the others just used the American people towards their own nefarious ends. I think this man honestly loves America. And politicians don't understand that. You're not supposed to love the rubes. You're supposed to lie to them and get their vote and then, you know, go back in 4 years. I mean, the guy has no reason to be in Iowa.
Yeah.
You know, he's not running for anything. Nobody's trying to win a congressional seat in Iowa. He's there for the people. And so you got to respect that.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. Yeah, the Clintons have learned how to use America's vast resources as their piggy bank. Learning to sell them off pieces and parts.
If it was just America's resources, it would be one thing, but when you betray your country for the sake of money, when you sell secrets to the Chinese, when you sell nuclear secrets to the Chinese for a donation to the Clinton Foundation, that's when somebody should have called a flag on the play. But that's just me.
Well, that's you and many others. But, I agree.
So it's, you know, I know there's a lot of Christians. The man is not a righteous man. Come on. You could barely find a righteous pastor. I didn't, you know. And I understand their point of view, and I understand where they're coming from, because I get the emails. How could you not, you know, condemn? Condemn what? The man didn't say he was a Pentecostal preacher. The guy in Denver did, in Colorado.
Yeah.
And look, you know, I'm sorry. Between condemning the guy in Colorado who hired a male prostitute to massage him while he was taking ecstasy or some nonsense, and condemning Donald Trump, I'm going to go with the Pentecostal preacher first. Because I'm going to hold him to a higher standard.
Well, yeah.
But apparently,
be ye not many masters.
Over these things.
Be ye not many masters, for ye shall receive the greater condemnation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It,
you know, we got a hard road to row, and Canada. Honestly, what's happening in Canada is frightening to me. It should be a cautionary tale for every Christian, for every believer, for every parent that wants to raise their children the way they want to raise their children. You know, and for better or worse, my parents chose to raise me a certain way. It was not the government's job or duty or responsibility to step in and say, no, don't spank him.
Yeah. How long ago did you say Canada passed homosexual marriage versus finally did?
They did it in 2005.
Okay. And how far
behind? I don't know. We did it, 4 or 5 years ago? I know it was under Obama.
Yeah, so about almost 10 years, less than 10 years, I'm sorry, 7 or 8. So, yeah, you're looking anywhere from 5 to 8 years, we could be following an exact path that Canada is, and then your daughter is going to be faced, or your family is going to be faced with this issue, and, you know, obviously, I don't think that would ever happen to your family, but, you know, who knows what, heck, if they got tired of hearing you on the radio like this, they may come and find a way to attack you.
Well, yeah, she'll go to school. She'll go to the counselor. The counselor will ask leading questions. You know, they can manufacture this. The spectrum of what they can do to a family if they really want to is scary.
Yeah,
because
they can manufacture Russia. They can manufacture anything.
Exactly. You know, it's the child said. But do you understand what context did he say it in? Was he smiling at the time? That's irrelevant. We have to take him away for the safety of the child, and that's it.
Yeah.
You who raised your child, who held them on the first day they were born, get some dirty haired hippie taking them away because they don't believe you should raise them fearing Christ. It's just you know,
I guess I didn't think about that, but as you're talking about, yeah, they could trump up any charge, make it up, just to silence you. And actually, they could probably use somebody like you or another well-known pastor as a chilling point.
As an example.
Yeah,
if you don't shut up, it's going to happen to you like it happened to him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So they don't have to do it to everybody.
They can
just do it to one. Yeah.
Yeah, it's using your children to control you. Because what do you love in this life more than your own children?
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Using the fear of having your children taken away if you don't step in line, if you don't do what they tell you to do. Anyway, Jeff, thank you. We're almost out of time.
Thank you.
I just looked at the clock, and it's we got to do this again. A lot to be angry about, but this Canada thing, man, it just freaked me out. So I wanted to bounce it off of somebody that understood what I was trying to say. Thanks a lot for joining. Thank you for the input. God bless you. And we're going to hand it over to Gino if he has any announcements. Thank you all for listening. Hopefully you got something out of this. If you didn't, then you weren't listening hard enough. God bless you and good night.
Amen. God help us as Christians to not be silent. Boy, that's what I get out of the show. Stand for what you stand for. Stand for God. Be a watchman on the wall. Lord, help us. If you have questions, please write into lightoftruth@handofhelp.com. And our website is handofhelp.com as well. Have an awesome night.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast, The Light of Truth with Michael Baldea. If you would like to order a copy of today's broadcast, please visit our website at handofhelp.com. If you have questions about our ministry, You can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com or simply call us at 920-206-9910. God bless you. They are all leaving.